Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's episode, I want to talk about forecasts, and specifically the forecasts for Russia for 2023. Now, you may have seen in the press recently that the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has released its World Economic Outlook. And in that document, they provided projected GDP forecasts for 2023 and 2024 for a variety of different countries. And why it's hit the news is because they've changed their forecast from a negative figure to a positive figure for Russia. So they're now saying that Russia is going to achieve growth of 0.3% in GDP in 2023. And that's caused a lot of excitement because that figure is actually higher than a lot of the countries from the West. And the conclusion that everybody's jumped to is therefore that Russia is doing better than countries such as the UK, and therefore the sanctions can't be working. Now, the issue with any forecasts is they are simply a prediction. They're essentially a guess as to what might happen at some point in the future. Now, when we're talking in economic terms, those guesses are put together based on all of the current material and data. But things change really quickly, particularly when we're talking about Russia, the economy, and all of the sanctions. So in today's video, we'll have a look at five different sets of forecasts that have been put together for the Russian economy for 2023. And I can tell you that every single one of those forecasts has a different number. So nobody has a consensus view. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. But we'll go through those forecasts. And one of the important things that I want to run through when we're looking at those forecasts is when they were actually produced. Because as we get more live data, that changes the perspective. And that takes me on to the next thing that we'll look at in this video, which are the January results for Russia. And they were spectacularly bad. In the month, Russia experienced a deficit of $25 billion. This was totally unexpected. We saw a 47% fall in oil and gas revenues, a 38% fall in other revenues, and expenditure was around 59% higher in January 23 than it was in January 2022. So we'll go through those results in some detail. And then what I'd like to do is pick up on the question as to whether or not Russia is doing better than the UK. Now, that's been mentioned a lot of times in the comments section on my channel. A lot of people who are pro-Russian have jumped on this forecast from the IMF that Russia is due to grow 0.3% and the UK is due to fall 0.6%, and said that the conclusion, therefore, is that Russia is doing better than the UK. So we'll go through the details of exactly how the two economies are doing, how big they are, how many people live in each country, and we'll do a comparison of all of that data, and you can then form your own decision as to which country you believe is doing better. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of 2023 for Russia, and what the implications of this will be for the Russian economy and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel so that I can buy more things like this, then please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, thank you very much for everyone who has supported the channel. It's enabled me to buy that. This table shows five sets of forecasts for the Russian economy for 2023. Now, the forecast at the top is from the IMF, which I mentioned at the start of the video, and their revised forecast for 2023 is growth of 0.3%. The second forecast is from the Ministry of Economy in Russia, who are forecasting 0.8% fall in GDP. The third figure is a consensus view from a group of Russian economists, who are forecasting a fall of 1.5%. The World Bank is forecasting a contraction of 3.3%. And the Bank of Russia is saying in a worst-case scenario, GDP could fall by up to 4%. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to share this data with you is really to show you how experts can differ with their opinions. All of these people are using the same data. They've only got the data that's been published. So everybody's working with the same material. But as you can see, the outcomes are very different. So whilst there's obviously some analysis involved in putting together forecasts, it isn't scientific. It's not a formula that you put the data in and then you get an answer and everybody comes to the same decision. This is basically an opinion based on all of the moving parts that are going on in terms of the economy of Russia right now. And when you look at the spread in these opinions, from a drop of 4% up to an increase of 0.3%, that is a substantial divergence in terms of what everybody thinks the outcome is going to be for Russia. And of course, one of the reasons why there's such a big difference in this opinion is because nobody really knows what the effect of these sanctions is going to be. All we can base it on is the data that we're seeing coming out of Russia. And the problem we've got is that Russia is limiting the amount of data that it's releasing. For the last 6 months or so, they haven't been releasing detailed information because President Putin believed that it was in the national security interest not to release that information. I think one of the best ways of sorting through this data initially is to look at the dates that they were actually published on. Now, the oldest of these five forecasts comes from the Russian Ministry of Economy, and they were put together in September 2022. And at that time, they were forecasting that the Russian economy would fall by 0.8% for 2023. Now, as this is the oldest forecast, it's probably the most unreliable because a lot happened in the last quarter of 2022 and the first 6 weeks of 2023. The second oldest of all these forecasts is from the Bank of Russia, which were put together in October 2022. And interestingly, these forecasts are the most pessimistic, which I think is slightly surprising, given the fact that they've come from an official source in Russia, and therefore will be highly visible to President Putin. Now, the next set of forecasts that were produced were by the World Bank, which is an institution which is very similar to the IMF in terms of the way it's been constructed and the level of research that it provides on all the different countries around the world. And in January 2023, the World Bank stated that they believe that Russia is due to see a contraction in GDP of 3.3% in 2023. And at the time that the World Bank provided that forecast, one of the latest forecasts was from the Bank of Russia, which was forecasting a fall of 4%. So 3.3% seemed reasonable in the context of those forecasts. However, on the 25th of January, the IMF released its World Economic Outlook update, in which it forecasts growth of 0.3% for Russia for 2023. And this is really an outlier. When you compare it to all of the other estimates that were in the market at that point, it really does stand out as the only one that's projecting positive growth. However, the IMF forecasts are not the most recent set of forecasts on this list. They've been provided by a group of Russian economists who've seen the economic data published by Russia for January 2023. And their consensus view is that they believe that the Russian economy will fall by 1.5% in 2023. So as I said at the start of this section, when you're dealing with forecasts and predictions, there is no science involved in it, and it's very unlikely that any of these forecasts will be 100% accurate. So all you can do is base your analysis on the latest figures that you've seen and the trends that that analysis is showing you. And from my perspective, I think a couple of things have changed since the IMF released that data on the 25th of January. The IMF forecasts were put together before they saw the results for January. And as I mentioned at the start of the video, the results in January were significantly worse than everybody was expecting. So this hasn't been a good start to 2023 from Russia's perspective. So they're on the back foot in terms of trying to achieve any sort of growth. But also, in addition to that, what we've seen over the last couple of weeks is the introduction of the oil price cap and the EU ban on refined products. And refined oil products are basically gasoline, diesel, kerosene, all the things that are used on a daily basis by consumers. And the introduction of that ban and that cap, on top of the ban that's already in place for crude, is having a devastating impact on Russia's exports. So I think a few things have changed since the IMF published their forecasts. And it'll be interesting to see when they do their next reforecast, whether they stick with this growth of 0.3% or they go back to their original position of Russia declining in 2023. This table shows the official figures published by the Ministry of Finance from Russia for January 23. Now, all of these figures are quoted in billions of Russian rubles, and to give you an indication, the exchange rate between the ruble and the US dollar is currently around 70 to 1. So as you can see, total income for the month was around 1.4 trillion rubles, which equates to around $19.4 billion. However, this compares to income of 2.1 trillion rubles, or around $30 billion in January 2022, and represents a fall of more than 35%. So this shows the direct impact of the sanctions that have been applied against Russia. The invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February, so the figures for January 22 don't include any of the sanctions that started around March time. So anybody watching who's not sure whether or not the sanctions are having any effect, this shows you the direct impact so far. And in terms of where those sanctions have been targeted, it's primarily on the oil and gas income. And you can see that the revenue from oil and gas in the month was 426 billion rubles, which is around $6.1 billion. However, that figure compared to sales last year of 795 billion rubles, or $11.4 billion. So that represents a shortfall of more than 46% compared with this time last year. But if we look at non-oil and gas revenue, you can see that the figure for January 23 was 931 billion rubles, which equates to just over $13 billion. And that compares with the figure from last year of just under 1.3 trillion rubles, which is around $18.5 billion. So represents a shortfall of over 28% year on year. And you can see that the Ministry of Finance have provided some detail as to how that figure was calculated. And they're showing the VAT and the income tax amounts. Now, VAT is charged on goods and services within Russia. So this really gives us an indication as to how the economy is performing, whether people are spending a lot of money or not. And you can see that in the month of January, the VAT income was 379 billion rubles, which equates to around $5.4 billion. However, that figure compares to 693 billion rubles, or around $9.8 billion from January 22. So that represents a shortfall of more than 44%. So that means that the economy is doing far worse this year than it was in January 2022. People are spending less money, there's less activity, and therefore there's less VAT being charged on all the goods and services. And when you look at what's happening with income tax, that tells us that there are real problems in the Russian economy. The revenue figure for income tax has actually been recorded as a negative figure of 72 billion rubles, which equates to just over $1 billion. So essentially that means that the Russian ministry has not taken any income tax in the month, and actually it's given refunds of over $1 billion. So that really gives us a good indication as to what's happening in the economy. And if we compare that with the situation from January 22, you can see that the income figure was 65 trillion rubles, which is just under $1 billion. And because we've gone from a positive figure last year to a negative figure this year, the deficit that the ministry is showing is actually more than 100% negative. If we now move on to expenditure, you can see that total expenditure in January was over 3.1 trillion rubles, which is around $44.5 billion. And that compares to a figure of around 1.9 trillion rubles, or just over $28 billion. So that means that expenditure was almost 59% higher. And if you look at the figure on the far right-hand column of this chart, that shows the full year budget for 2023. So you can see that total expenditure is forecast to be just over 29 trillion rubles, which is around $415 billion. So the total expenditure of 3.1 trillion rubles in January represents around 10.7% of the full year budget. And as there are 12 months in the year, you would have expected the monthly expenditure to come in around 8.3%. So this is a significant overspend in the month at the same time as there's been a significant shortfall in revenue. So this is a double whammy from Russia's point of view. And in terms of the details of where that expenditure is going, we've only been provided with details of state procurement. So these are things being purchased by the central government. And you can see that in the month, state procurements were just over 1.3 trillion rubles, which equates to around $18.6 billion. And that compares to a figure of 249 billion rubles, or $3.6 billion. So the overspend in the month on state procurements was more than five times. And when you compare that to the full year budget of around $5 trillion, it represents around 26% in 1 month. So this is a significant amount of overspend in the first month of the year, and really doesn't set the tone well for the rest of 2023 from Russia's perspective. They have spent a lot more than they were expecting to in January. And if we now look at the net spending in the month, which is the difference between income and expenditure, the net outflow was more than 1.7 trillion rubles, which is around $25 billion, compared with profit of 125 billion rubles, or around $1.8 billion. So that represents a shortfall of around 1.9 trillion rubles, or almost $27 billion. So this represents serious underperformance in the first month of the year. And when you look at the estimated full year loss of 2.9 trillion rubles, the performance in January represents over 60% of that forecast loss. So Russia's going to have to do significantly better in the next 11 months of 2023 to come in at that 2.9 trillion loss figure. So as I mentioned at the start of the video, there's been a lot of commentary about the latest IMF forecast for 2023. They've done a review of all of the different countries, estimated what the likely impact of what's happening right now is, and they've reforecast the expectations. And as part of that, they forecast that Russia is going to see some growth in 2023 and that the UK is likely to see a contraction. And everybody has now assumed that that means that Russia is doing better than the UK. And I've seen that comment in my comment section on multiple occasions. A lot of people are goading me saying Russia's now doing better than the UK. So I wanted to really put some flesh on the bones, give you some data so that you can make an accurate assessment of exactly where we are right now. And you can decide yourself whether Russia or the UK is doing better. This table shows the top 10 countries in the world ranked by GDP for 2022. So you can see that the USA is still the largest economy in the world, having delivered over $25 trillion worth of GDP. China has remained as the second largest economy in the world, with GDP of around $18.3 trillion. Japan's in at number 3 with $4.3 trillion. Germany's number 4 with just over $4 trillion. India's now up to number 5 with just under $3.5 trillion. The United Kingdom is number 6 with just under $3.2 trillion. France is number 7 with $2.8 trillion. Canada is number 8 with $2.2 trillion. Russia is number 9 with $2.1 trillion. And Brazil is number 10 with just under $1.9 trillion. So as you can see, the GDP figure for the UK of $3.2 trillion was more than $1 trillion larger than Russia's figure of $2.1 trillion. Which means that the economy of the UK is 50% larger than Russia's economy, despite the fact that the UK only has 69 million people and Russia has 146 million people. So on a per capita basis, the GDP in the UK is actually more than 3 times higher than it is in Russia. So on both of those metrics, the UK is doing significantly better than Russia. So now let's have a look at the IMF's World Economic Output that was published in January. So as you can see here, in terms of the growth of the economy, the IMF is showing that the UK grew by 4.1% in 2022. However, it's forecast to fall by 0.6% in 2023. Now, when you compare those figures with Russia, the IMF is saying that Russia experienced a drop in GDP in 2022 of 2.2%. but is forecast to see an increase of 0.3% in 2023. And I think this is where people are starting to get confused and a little bit mixed up, because they're looking at the projected growth of 0.3% for Russia and the projected fall of 0.6% for the UK in 2023 and making the conclusion that Russia is doing better than the UK. But you can't just look at a percentage and make a decision like that. You have to look at the data that that percentage has been constructed on. And there are multiple flaws in making the conclusion that Russia is doing better than the UK. Firstly, you have to look at the absolute level of GDP. And as we just discussed, the UK's economy is 50% larger than Russia's, despite the fact that its population is less than half the size. But in addition to looking at the absolute numbers, you have to look at what's been happening in recent years. So when you look at the UK, you can see that in 2021, it achieved growth of 7.6%. In 2022, it achieved further growth of 4.1%. And in 2023, it's forecast to see a 0.6% fall. So when you look at the cumulative impact over those 3 years, that's showing significant growth year on year. When you look at the same figures for Russia, in 2021, GDP growth was 4.7%. That compares to 7.6% for the UK, so significantly less. Then in 2022, it actually saw a fall of 2.2%, compared with the UK's growth of 4.1%. So on a cumulative basis between those 2 years, the UK was growing significantly greater. You then look at the 23 figure, and it's forecast to be a 0.3% increase, so relatively small, compared with a 0.6% fall for the UK, which is also very small. So when you look at the cumulative impact over the 3 year period, the UK has done significantly better in terms of the overall growth of its GDP. Now, it's not exact to just add these figures up because it's year on year increases, but just as a rule of thumb to keep it very simple, let's just do that. If we look at the UK, you You've got 7.6% growth in 21, 4.1% growth in 22, and a fall of 0.6% in 23. If you add up those three percentages, it gets to 11.1%. It would actually be better than that because the 4.1% growth is on the enlarged figure from 21. So it would actually be higher than 11.1. But just for the sake of simplicity, I'm just going to do it this way round. If we then look at Russia, if you add up the three figures of 4.7 minus 2.2 and 0.3, it gets you to cumulative growth of 2.8. So 11.1 versus 2.8 isn't Russia doing better. It's actually Russia doing significantly worse. What people are trying to do is clutch at straws and find a way to say the sanctions aren't working, Russia's doing really well, United Kingdom's doing really badly. The United Kingdom is in a difficult position right now. I'm not trying to avoid that discussion. The UK is definitely going into recession and is likely to have a difficult period through the rest of 2023, which is reflected by the IMF's forecast. However, Russia is already in recession and has been in recession for the last 6 months or so. But the problem from Russia's point of view is that the sanctions are actually getting worse on a month-by-month basis. So the outlook for Russia isn't that rosy. I would bet that if the IMF were putting these figures together today, given the information that we've just looked at in this video showing Russia's terrible performance in January, they would probably revise these figures downward for 2023 because growth of 0.3% looks unlikely right now given the current performance and also all of the additional sanctions that have come into place over the course of the last couple of months. So hopefully that gives you a better understanding as to what's going on right now. And I wanted to go through that data because it can be very misleading to just look at a percentage from a headline and jump to the conclusion that somebody is doing better than somebody else based on percentages when you don't know any of the actual data that's sitting behind those percentages. In order to get a fully balanced view, you need to look at the full picture and then you can decide who's doing better and who's doing worse. And from my perspective, Russia is doing significantly worse than the UK. The UK may well go into recession for the rest of 23, and I'm sure it will have a difficult period, but Russia's likely to face an even more difficult 2023. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because it's always interesting when you're looking at forecasts. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, but it's nice to know what the experts think. And what we saw earlier in this video is that the experts think all sorts of different things, ranging from 0.3% growth for Russia to 4% decline for Russian economy in 2023. So that's really quite a big spectrum. But the IMF's prediction of growth for this year is the outlier. It's the only institution that's currently saying that Russia's going to see a positive 2023. Everybody else, including the economists who put their forecast together after seeing the January figures, believe that Russia will decline in 2023. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the video, I think when you're putting together forecasts, you have to base it on the latest data. And as we've seen in this video, the latest data for Russia looks really bad. January was the single worst month for the Russian economy since they started publishing data in 1998. A $25 billion deficit in the month is an extremely bad start for 2023. So in order to achieve growth for 2023, they're going to need to see significant improvement in the following 11 months of the year. And the problems that they're facing right now is that there's a lot going on with regards to their two biggest assets, oil and gas sales. As you'll be aware by now, the previous biggest buyers of Russian oil, the European Union, have now introduced an outright ban on the purchase of all crude oil that's transported over the sea and all refined products. And that's a massive gap for Russia to be able to fill, particularly when we're talking about refined products. India and China are happy to buy crude oil from Russia because they can put that through their own refineries, break it down into gasoline and diesel, and then either use it or sell it on to other people. But with refined products, firstly, there's a higher price point, so they're more expensive. And secondly, they tend to be transported over shorter distances because the vessels are smaller and there's lots of them because you have to transport gasoline and diesel and all of these other products separately. So India and China are not interested in buying those refined products. And we've seen that from the data. Check out some of the videos that I've posted where we've had a detailed look at the breakdown of Russia's sales. And you'll see that India and China haven't been buying that refined oil. So Russia is facing a huge challenge to find markets for those refined products. And at the same time as that, they're also facing the prospect of a price cap. The crude oil price cap has been in place since December the 5th, And the combination of these bans and the price caps are having a massive impact on Russia's revenues. Now, that's the situation with regards to oil. With regards to gas, the position is actually much worse, because over the last 20 years, Russia has been selling gas through pipelines to Europe. And that's been a perfect relationship from Russia and Europe's point of view. But because of the war in Ukraine, Europe no longer wants to buy that gas. So Russia's only option, if it wants to sell the gas to China and India, is to convert it into a liquefied form, put it onto ships, and then transport it. But the problem that Russia has is it simply doesn't have enough capacity to be able to convert the volume of gas that it needs to replace all those lost revenues. And it's also lost all of its business partners. So previously, Russia would have entered into joint ventures with companies such as Shell, BP, ExxonMobil. It would have got those companies to pay for all of the facilities, to build them out, and then share the revenues with them. But because it's cut all of its ties, it no longer has those relationships. Therefore, it can't get those companies to come in and make that investment. So it's going to struggle to be able to finance that investment. And in addition to that, it also is lacking the expertise to be able to build these facilities. So Russia has a mountain to climb in terms of replacing all of its lost gas sales. And as we saw from the data we went through earlier, Russia's also seen a decline of 38% in its other revenue. So it's not just oil and gas. This is across the board. And of course, that's partially the impact of all of the relationships that it's lost, all of the companies who left Russia, as well as all of the workforce who left as part of the brain drain. The initial phase came just after the war started, and then we saw a second phase for the brain drain when the mobilization was announced. So Russia is facing some huge challenges right now, and it'll be really interesting to see what does happen to GDP over the course of 2023. Whether the IMF has got it right and we see growth, or whether all of the other experts have got it right and we see the economy contracting. And the other thing that we went through in today's video that I'd like to recap on is the comparison between what's happening in Russia and what's happening in the UK. And as I said at the start of the video, it's very easy for people to look at percentages and jump to conclusions that one country is doing better than another just because the percentage figure looks higher. However, you have to look at the detail. You have to look at how big that economy is to start with, how far it's come over the last few years, how much growth it's seen, and then how those figures compare on a like-for-like basis. And as I said earlier, you can form your own view as to whether you think the UK or Russia is doing better right now, but I think the facts speak for themselves. So hopefully you've enjoyed the content of today's video. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up, and thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.